Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, August 30th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
stocks are rising as we close out the volatile trading month of August.
Hong Kong police arrest activists after banning a mass protest.
And UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's plan to suspend Parliament survives an early court test.
President Trump has canceled his weekend trip to Poland as residents in Florida prepare for a likely Category 4 hurricane. I'm Michael Barr. More on Dorian ahead.
I'm Rob Blushka. Coming up in sports, two baseball teams, two different directions. In history, shaping up in front of us at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are climbing alongside U.S. stock index futures. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 19 points this morning. Dow futures up 174 and Nasdaq futures up 56. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.9%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.2%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.52%. Yield on the 2-year 1.54%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 50 cents at $56.21 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1%, down $2.20 at $15.34.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1042 against the dollar. The yen at 106.42. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We're going to have more on the markets in just a moment. First, we want to get you the very latest on the hurricane heading for Florida. For more, let's bring in Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
Nathan and Karen, Dorian could be a dangerous Category 5 hurricane by the time it's approaching the coast of Florida sometime late in the day on Labor Day. At this time, it looks like the best chance for landfall is somewhere north of the Miami area, say from West Palm Beach northward towards the Cape Canaveral area. Once Dorian makes landfall late Monday, it could work its way slowly inland along the path of the storm. Destruction is likely to be very, very high. Winds could be in excess of 145 miles an hour. Nathan, Karen.
All right. Thank you, Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. We're going to check back with Rob throughout the morning.
And the volatile trading month comes to an end today. It was a month that saw wild market swings on the latest trade developments between the U.S. and China. Danny Berger is a markets reporter for Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Now, despite this week's gain, the S&P 500 is still on track for its biggest monthly decline since May. It dropped by more than 2% on three separate days, and that's the first time that's happened since the December sell-off. Treasury volatility also hitting its highest level since early 2016, and we saw 30-year yields tumble to all-time lows. So either this was a great time to take a vacation, ignore markets, or you've returned to a trading floor that has the remnants of a chaotic month.
Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger. The S&P 500, by the way, is up more than 16% this year.
Now, stocks in Asia closed out the month with their biggest gain in 6 weeks. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Markets in Tokyo, Sydney and Seoul led gains across most of Asia, but shares in Hong Kong paired some earlier moves as news broke that prominent protest figures have been taken into police custody. In Seoul, the won rose after the Bank of Korea kept rates on hold, while Japanese bonds slipped in Tokyo after the Bank of Japan cut purchases in its regular operations. So that is it for the trading month of August 2019. One, investors would probably rather forget the worst August for Asian stocks since 2015 and the worst month this year since May. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. In Europe, lawmakers have lost a bid to block UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Parliament plan. Let's get the very latest live with Bloomberg Sebastian Salek in London. Sebastian, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The judge in Edinburgh held off granting an emergency injunction against the Prime Minister's plan, saying there's time to hold more hearings on the issue next week. He didn't, though, make any findings on the merits of the MP's overall case. The decision is a setback for a group of lawmakers hoping to block a no-deal Brexit. Two other legal cases are still in progress. One is in Northern Ireland and the other is in London. And former Prime Minister Sir John Major is seeking to join the case in London to argue against suspension. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thanks. Euro area inflation in August remains stuck well below the European Central Bank's goal this month. The 1% rate, in line with economist estimates, compares with the ECB goal of just under 2%. The core measure, which excludes more volatile elements such as energy, food, and tobacco, was even lower at 0.9%.
Uber's chief executive says it sure looked like former executive Anthony Lewandowski took information from his former employer, Google. Prosecutors charged Lewandowski this week with 33 counts of stealing trade secrets. We spoke exclusively with Uber CEO Dara Khosrowshahi.
I wasn't here when we brought Anthony on board. But what I do know is that we went to incredible depths to make sure that any information that Anthony might have acquired from Google, and it sure looked like he did, didn't make it over to our company.
And Uber previously settled a civil case by paying $245 million in equity.
Shares of Dell rose 9% in extended trading. The company reported quarterly sales and profit that topped Wall Street estimates. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It got a boost from strong corporate demand for computers and software. CEO Michael Dell has diversified his technology empire to make it a one-stop shop for large companies upgrading their hardware and software. That diverse product lineup helped the company in the most recent period when growth from businesses buying computers overcame weakness in Dell's server and storage business. Competitors Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and NetApp both reported disappointing sales because of falling hardware demand. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. It's not a pretty morning for Ulta Beauty investors. The stock down 24% after the U.S. cosmetics company posted second quarter sales that missed estimates. Ulta also pared back its guidance for the full year.
American outdoor brands plunged as much as 22% in after-hours trading. The maker of Smith & Wesson Firearms lowered its forecast for the fiscal year to include $5 million in costs for tariffs on Chinese imports.
And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 18 points. Dow futures up 163. And NASDAQ futures up 52. The 10-year Treasury down 8/32. Yield 1.52%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get more on the latest track for Hurricane Dorian and the rest of the news around the world from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Hurricane Dorian is now a Category 2 storm with 105-mile-an-hour sustained winds as it makes its way towards Florida. The National Hurricane Center said Dorian is expected to strengthen into a potentially catastrophic Category 4 and slam into the U.S. on Monday somewhere between the Florida Keys and southern Georgia. President Trump, who has canceled his weekend trip to Poland, is encouraging anyone in the possible path of Dorian to get prepared.
It may be that you're going to evacuate. We're going to see what happens. We're waiting. It does seem almost certain that it's hitting dead center, and that's not good.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has already declared a state of emergency, and people in the storm's path are stocking up on supplies ahead of Dorian. The Trump administration is issuing a national warning urging adolescents and pregnant women not to use marijuana. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams notes the potency of marijuana has changed in recent years.
The amount of THC, the component responsible for euphoria and intoxication, but also for most of marijuana's documented harms, has increased 3 to 5-fold over the last few decades. And that's before you take into account concentrated forms such as edibles, oils, and waxes that can increase THC delivery even further.
Adam says this ain't your mother's marijuana. The warning comes as legal marijuana has grown into a $10 billion industry in the U.S., with nearly two-thirds of states legalizing it, mainly for medical uses. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Iowa Corn Growers Association says it hopes President Trump repairs the damage caused by the EPA when it granted small refinery waivers to avoid producing ethanol-gasoline mixes. Jim Greif, president of the Iowa Corn Growers Association, says his members aren't happy with the president.
We've lost 30% of the value of our crop for this year. I mean, you take a 30% off your wages for a year, it hurts.
The president tweeted that he has a plan that will make ethanol farmers and refineries happy, but has not offered any details. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Mets may have seen their hopes at a playoff run unofficially come to an end at Citi Field on Thursday as the Cubs swept the Mets 4-1, handing New York its sixth straight loss. Skipper Mickey Callaway.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I think the last six games, that's tough to swallow. But you have to move on. I know we say this every time we lose. You do. You really do. You have to move on, regroup. We got to go in to Philly and take care of business.
Mets are 5 out of the wild card, and they travel to Philadelphia tonight. Zach Wheeler versus Aaron Nola. Yankees had the night off and watched Tampa Bay win at Houston 9-8. Lead is still 11 in the East entering play tonight. Yankees look for payback when they host the A's at 7:05. Brett Anderson and CC Sabathia. The A's swept New York last week on a West Coast road trip. NFL preseason week 4 in the books as the Giants finished 4-0 with a 31-29 win in New England. Quarterback Daniel Jones 4-4. Veteran wide receiver Golden Tate.
I felt like his awareness was great. I felt like he felt super comfortable in there. And when the quarterback feels comfortable, the other 10 guys feel comfortable as well.
The Jets, they posted a shutout, finished 2-2 after they beat the Eagles 6-0 in MetLife. In U.S. Open, Coco Gauff outlasts Tamia Bubbos 6-2, 4-6, 6-4 to become the youngest woman to reach the third round of the U.S. Open since 96. She'll face Naomi Osaka. And congrats to American Taylor Townsend. She knocked off two-time major champ Simona Halep in 3 sets. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. And are you ready for some football? Join us tonight for Bloomberg's Business of Sports when we speak with Gary Stokin, Chief Executive Officer of the Peach Bowl, which runs the Chick-fil-A kickoff. He'll talk about the first full weekend for college ball, including Alabama Duke. You can hear that interview tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio or anytime wherever you get your podcasts. Right now, S&P futures are 18 points higher. Dow futures up 167. NASDAQ futures, 53-point rise. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, can the consumer continue to hold up the U.S. economy amid a global slowdown? We speak next with Bloomberg senior U.S. economist Yelena Shulyetyeva. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks climbing alongside U.S. stock index futures on the final trading day of a tumultuous month that was dominated by the trade war. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 18 points. Dow futures up 159. NASDAQ futures up 48. DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32 yield 1.52%. The yield on the 2-year 1.54%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 49 cents at $56.22 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2 to $15.34.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1044 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2179 and the yen 106.41. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Florida residents are preparing for Hurricane Dorian. President Donald Trump said it could be an absolute monster of a storm. The National Hurricane Center says the Category 2 storm is expected to strengthen into a potentially catastrophic Cat 4 and slam into the U.S. on Monday somewhere between the Florida Keys and southern Georgia. Hong Kong police arrested well-known activist Joshua Wong and another core member of a pro-democracy group today, and authorities denied permission for a major march. In baseball, the Mets lost, the A's won, the Giants lost. Preseason NFL for 2019 is over. Everybody played last night for the final game four. The Giants beat the Patriots 31-29. The Jets and Ravens were winners. The Redskins, 49ers, and the Raiders all lost. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Coco Gauff advanced to the third round for the man Rafael Nadal moved on. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's take the pulse of the economy as we close out August. To help us do that, let's welcome in Yelena Shulyacheva, senior U.S. economist at Bloomberg Economics. Nice, as always, to have you on, Yelena.
Good morning.
We have a better picture of the U.S. economy after the latest print on second quarter GDP. Slowing, but the consumer is really still driving this economy. Is that the way you see it?
Absolutely. I think the consumer story is really key right now when, you know, other sectors of the economy are not engaging. Business investment is slowing amid all this uncertainty surrounding trade tensions. So is the export sector. Now the consumer is the main driving force behind economic growth. And as you mentioned, in the second quarter, it was revised higher, and now it's the highest growth rate since 2014. So this morning we are going to get some more consumer data. The personal income and spending report for July is coming out. So it will be really important to see how consumers are doing. The one caveat, though, is that this data are for the month of July, and, you know, all the trade tensions accelerated on the 1st of August. So it will be a little bit outdated, but still will show how the economy was doing right before re-escalation of trade tensions.
Yeah, and I guess the big question as we look ahead into September and the rest of this year, when we start to see those tariffs increase on China and retaliatorily on the U.S., is how much longer the consumer can continue to prop up this economy if these tariffs continue to weigh on business?
Well, it will depend on how the labor market is doing. And that's why the payrolls report for the month of August is so key to watch next week. So if we continue to see relatively strong readings on payrolls and what's more important, you know, strong readings on income growth, then the consumers will be just fine. If we see continued deceleration in the pace of job creation, and even worse, if we see deceleration in income growth, then we will be in trouble.
What are your expectations for that jobs report next week, particularly when we've seen a lot of firming in jobless claims week by week?
So we are in the middle to late stages of economic cycle, and jobless claims at this point of economic cycle are not that interesting in a sense that they don't really show you how much hiring is going on. They only show you that there's like really not that much layoffs going on. So what's more important is probably to look at indicators such as hiring rate and the jobs survey. So I think the labor market is still healthy, but you know, if we see some deceleration, that would be a really big warning sign. We did see some deceleration in the sectors that are directly impacted by the trade war, but it has not yet filtered into a broader service sector hiring. If we see that, that's not going to be a good great sign.
Now, you would think that if we do see a deceleration, that would make it all the more likely, do you think, that we would see the rate cut that the market is expecting from the Federal Reserve in September?
I think the rate cut is already a done deal in September, and it's not predicated on economic data, although the Fed will talk about inflation lagging, you know, their target and economic data is basically what they should be looking at. They are very concerned about the inversion of the yield curve. And at Jackson Hole, we heard a lot of them talking about inversion of the yield curve all across the different rates. So their goal is to reinvert the yield curve at this point, and it's more important at this juncture than the relative health of the economy.
I will look forward to talking to you again as we get closer to that jobs report next week, a week from today, and the rate decision in the middle of September. Yelena Shilyetova, senior U.S. economist at Bloomberg Economics. Always good having you on with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's take a quick look at the markets now as we get ready for the final trading day of August. Pointing to solid gains ahead of the open. S&P futures are higher by 18 points. Dow futures up 165. And NASDAQ futures are higher by 50 points. 10 years down 8/32. Yield 1.52%. The 2-year at 1.53%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we're going to get the very latest on Hurricane Dorian, the track of the strengthening storm out over open water as it takes aim at Florida. This is Bloomberg. It's 6:25 on Wall Street. Stay with us. We'll get a fuller check of the markets as well, plus all the latest in business, economics, and finance. I'm Nathan Hager. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with Hurricane Dorian. It's expected to become a Category 4 storm with winds reaching 140 miles per hour before it makes landfall on Florida's east coast. We'll have much more on the track of the hurricane in just a moment.
First, let's look at the equity markets right now. U.S. futures are rising as we close out the volatile trading month of August. While new American tariffs on Chinese imports take effect Sunday, Beijing has indicated it won't immediately retaliate. That's helping steady investor nerves.
A Scottish judge refused to block Boris Johnson's plan to suspend Parliament, dealing a blow to lawmakers who argued that there is not enough time to thwart a no-deal Brexit.
Euro area inflation in August remains stuck well below the European Central Bank's goal this month. The 1% rate, in line with economist estimates, compares with the ECB goal of just under 2%.
Economists say U.S. consumer spending probably gathered momentum in July, advancing 0.5%. That would mark the fifth straight monthly gain. July personal income is also forecast to post an increase, Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Consumer spending has provided a cushion against weakness in manufacturing and housing, expanding in the second quarter at the fastest pace in 5 years. Wall Street will also watch today's report for signs of inflation. Bloomberg Economics says a pickup in the Fed's preferred price gauge, core PCE, could help ease concerns about persistently low inflation. In June, core PCE rose 1.6% year-over-year, the most since February. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. The Bank of Japan cut bond purchases for a third time this month, seeking to stem a decline in yields as global central banks look to add stimulus. Japan's factory output bounced back in July following a sharp decline.
Shares of Dell rose 9% in extended trading. The company reported quarterly sales and profit that topped Wall Street estimates.
Ulta Beauty shares have lost almost a quarter of their value this morning. The U.S. cosmetics company posted second quarter sales that missed estimates. Ulta also pared back its guidance for the full year.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 18 points. Dow futures up 162. And NASDAQ futures up 49. The DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32. Yield 1.52%. And the yield on the 2-year 1.53%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 55 cents at $56.16 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.2% on $2.40 at $15.34.60 an ounce. And the euro 1.1043 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street and Michael Barr with the very latest on what's happening around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Florida residents are bracing for Hurricane Dorian that is threatening to hit the center of the state over the Labor Day weekend. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, Hurricane Dorian continues to move through the Atlantic. It is now east-northeast of the southeastern Bahamas. It looks like it is going to strike the southern coast of Florida as a major hurricane this weekend. It looks like late in the day on Labor Day is when it probably makes landfall. Right now, anywhere on the Florida coast north of Miami looks susceptible to Dorian, but I think the highest likelihood, at least right now based on the track, would be around the West Palm Beach area. It will cause immense destruction as it works its way inland Monday night and into early Tuesday across south-central Florida. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. President Donald Trump said it appears that Hurricane Dorian's winds would be unbelievably high.
It hit the Virgin Islands, but not as bad as it could have. But it really began to form and form big, and now it's looking like it could be an absolute monster.
The president canceled a visit to Poland scheduled for the weekend, and Florida's governor expanded a state of emergency. Dorian is forecast to make landfall on the Atlantic coast Monday as a dangerous Category 4 storm. The Department of Justice's Inspector General issued a report that finds former FBI Director James Comey violated departmental policies in his handling of memos involving his conversations with President Trump, but the DOJ declined to file charges over the matter. President Trump is considering a plan to block $250 million in military assistance to Ukraine, a move that could cause an issue in Congress, which appropriated the money. Democratic Congressman Gary Connolly of Virginia says the president must choose which side he's standing with, Ukraine or Vladimir Putin.
Lives are at risk. Remember, fighting is going on in eastern Ukraine. Lives are being lost. The Ukrainian people are trying to recover their lost territory. The United States ought to be standing side by side with our fellow democratic nation.
President Trump's decision to order the review comes after the White House publicly lost a battle to slash foreign aid spending across the board. President Trump has begun his initiative to create a space force with an agency that's going to be under the Air Force. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The dog days of summer have been here for quite some time. Just ask the Mets.
Swinging a drive to right field, down the line. It's got a chance. Gone! Three-run homer, Victor Caratini. His second home run of the game.
Cubs radio 4-1 as they beat New York at Citi Field, capping a sweep and sending the Mets to their sixth consecutive loss. Ace Jacob DeGrom allowed a pair of home runs to Victor Caratini. The Mets are 5 out of the wild card, and they visit Philadelphia tonight. Phillies give the ball to Aaron Nola opposite of Zach Wheeler. The Yankees rested Thursday in order to prepare for a showdown with the A's at the stadium tonight. They swept New York last week in Oakland. Yankees carry an 11-game lead into Friday, despite Tampa Bay knocking off Houston Thursday night. Giants, they fell to the Padres. In the NFL, the Jets shut out the Eagles 6-0 at MetLife, proving they can both score and play solid defense during their 2-2 preseason. Reason for optimism, says coach Adam Gase.
There's going to be tough decisions that are going to have to be made here in the next couple days, but the core group of guys that we have, I think we have good leadership. You know, it's good to see kind of the development that we've gone through and seeing the steps that these guys are making.
Jets open at home versus Buffalo September 8th. Giants, they rested Saquon Barkley in their 31-20 triumph at New England to cap a 4-0 preseason. Quarterback Daniel Jones looked sharp. He was 4-for-4 in his limited backup role. In tennis, the U.S. Open from Flushing Meadows, Coco Mania continues as Coco Gauff beat Tamia Babos in three sets to become the youngest player in 23 years to reach the third round. Sets up a showdown with Naomi Osaka, last year's champ. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Almost 18 years ago in Afghanistan, the U.S. entered its longest war. It did so honorably after Taliban-sheltered terrorists killed nearly 3,000 people on American soil. Now it must strive for an exit that's no less honorable. In Doha, American and Taliban negotiators are reportedly nearing a deal to end hostilities. The exit plan is right to focus on the chief U.S. interest, preventing Afghanistan from becoming a terrorist haven. The U.S. can't be naive. It must work to ensure it can disrupt al-Qaeda and Islamic State from afar. At the same time, the threat should be kept in perspective. Al-Qaeda is a diminished force in Afghanistan, and the Taliban have an interest in uprooting Islamic State. It's time to end this war. For its own sake, and Afghanistan's, the U.S. must do it carefully. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg opinion, visit Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says he's already found ways to cut various Pentagon programs using a review that mirrors the night court sessions he held while leading the Army. Nancy Lyons from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
These night court sessions are basically weekly meetings with his staff.
That's a term that was coined when he was Army Secretary. They burned the midnight oil, spending hours and hours looking for ways to save money within the Army.
Bloomberg Government's Travis Tritton says Esper managed to slash $25 billion for the Army. Now he's working on making cuts to support programs that make up the Fourth Estate, although he's not providing any details.
He said he's refining that number, but he has a basic number in mind for the amount of cuts.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Winemakers in France haven't lived through such a succession of hot weather and dry harvests since at least the time of the Black Death in the 14th century. Weather extremes that could now be considered normal for anybody under the age of 30 are unprecedented in historical records going back to when Europe was recovering from the pandemic that eviscerated the population. That's the conclusion of researchers who examined temperature, grape harvest, and wage data dating back to 1354, according to a study in the European Geosciences Union journal Climate of the Past. Hotter temperatures over the last three decades have resulted in Burgundy grapes being harvested on average 13 days earlier than they were over the last 664 years. One legendary year in particular might offer a taste of how wines might be affected. In the summer of 1540, heat that dried up the Rhine River yielded a sweet sherry-like wine, which history records made people rapidly drunk. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Futures pointing to a higher open this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. The stage is set for the next Democratic debate. What does that mean for the candidates who won't be on the stage? We check in next with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks climbing alongside U.S. stock index futures on the final trading day of the month, a month that was dominated by the trade war. Treasuries are retreating. The pound is struggling for direction as lawmakers lost a bid to block Prime Minister Boris Johnson's plan to suspend Parliament. The euro weakening as data showed inflation remains stubbornly low. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 19 points. Dow futures up 168. NASDAQ futures up 51. The DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.51%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.53%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 60 cents to $56.11 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% or $2.20 to $15.34.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1043 against the dollar, the British pound 1.2179, and the yen 106.39. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Dorian, a Category 2 hurricane, is growing stronger and could become a Cat 4 by the time it hits Florida. Close to 17 million people along the state's east coast are now bracing for a strong storm surge, winds of over 130 miles an hour, and over a foot of rain. The Justice Department's Inspector General said former FBI Director James Comey violated FBI policies in his handling of memos documenting private conversations with President Donald Trump. However, they will not prosecute. In baseball, the Mets lost. The A's won. The Giants lost. Preseason NFL for 2019, it is over. Everybody played last night for the final game four. The Giants beat the Patriots 31-29. The Jets and Ravens were winners. The Redskins, 49ers, and Oakland lost. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Coco Gauff advanced to the third round for the men. Rafael Nadal moved on. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg. Can I go where you go? Big in China, Taylor Swift. Oh. The American pop star may be more popular there than in the U.S., going by first week sales of her latest music. Lover, her seventh album, sold 1 million copies in China in its first week of sales. Nathan, U.S. sales are expected to reach 850,000 in the same period.
Now, either way, it's great sales for Taylor Swift. So what you're saying here, Michael, is that Taylor Swift is something the U.S. and China can agree on.
Yeah, yes, yes.
She could mediate the trade war.
I love Taylor Swift. I do.
I knew that about you. I can tell.
Global news, 24 hours. I do. 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Count Michael Barr in Team Tay-Tay. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump canceling a trip to Poland this weekend as Hurricane Dorian takes aim at Florida. Former FBI Director James Comey faulted for his handling of memos about the president. And U.S. Space Command, now formally established by President Trump, that will eventually oversee a new branch of the military, the Space Force. Also making news this morning, the field set for the next Democratic presidential debate, leaving those off the stage with a decision to make. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now. We already know, Kate, that a handful of candidates have made their decision and decided to bow out. So where does this leave the rest of the also-rans?
Well, the 10 or so folks that didn't qualify for the next debate in 2 weeks in Houston really are kind of in a difficult position now if they want to continue their campaigns. We know at least one of them, Steve Bullock, the Montana governor, has essentially said that he's going to continue with the idea that there's still, about 5 months between now and when the voters actually start going to the polls in Iowa in early February, or I guess caucusing in that case in early February. But I think that it's going to be increasingly difficult for these candidates if they don't get a place on the debate stage, either in Houston or in the next debate in October. It's going to be increasingly difficult for them to break out and gain traction and really have a good shot at becoming the nominee.
Yeah, I mean, because not only is polling one of the thresholds to make these debates, but so is the number of individual donors, the amount of money in these candidates' campaign war chests. If they can't consolidate that kind of support, it raises the question of how much longer many of these campaigns can go on, not just the ones who didn't make it to the debate stage, but some of the ones who did.
Yeah, even for some of the ones that did. I mean, in some ways, if you're kind of on the bubble, if you're on the cusp of making the debate or not, and you do make it in, that can give you a bit of a jolt potentially with donors. But, you know, certainly for the folks that didn't make the cut this time for the debate, and then for those that did, but, you know, as you say, are still polling pretty low, it really does kind of signal, at some point it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because it does signal to donors that these folks aren't able to get the kind of traction that they might need. And then, you know, donors generally like to put money towards campaigns that they think can be successful. Yeah. So it becomes a bit of a, you know, chilling effect down the line.
Yeah. So are some of these donors, maybe some of the big money donors, starting to focus their donations onto certain candidates in particular now?
Well, people like Joe Biden, who's the front runner, obviously have really, been able to tap a lot of the big donors from the outset because he's someone that's viewed potentially as the most electable. But I think certainly the top, four or so of the candidates, I think that's where most of the donations are going now.
As far as the debate itself, this is going to be the first time we see all the top polling candidates on stage at the same time. This could really change the dynamic for any voters who might be tuned in the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, it certainly could. I mean, I'm always a little bit skeptical that debates really end up changing all that much. But certainly, you know, this is going to be the first time we're going to have all four of the top polling candidates on the stage at the same time. And I think it really gives potential voters an opportunity to, you know, just see them side by side, see how they operate, and more directly evaluate them. It's just kind of worked out in the two first debates. There were so many candidates that the top tier contenders were split on different nights. And so I think certainly it will provide kind of an opportunity for direct assessment and potentially, depending on what happens during the debate, you know, if we see another moment like the one in which Kamala Harris took on Joe Biden in the first debate, that could really be the genesis of some fireworks and could end up leaving one of the candidates either boosted or, you know, wounded coming out of the debate.
In our last minute here, obviously, all eyes are going to be on Hurricane Dorian this weekend. The president is laser focused on that right now, and it's kind of coming at Poland's expense.
Yeah, so President Duda of Poland has been very, very strong in kind of promoting. They're in the middle of parliamentary election season there, and he's been strong in trying to tout his alliance with Trump and his closeness to the U.S. and to the administration. And so in some ways, it's a bit of a, you know, egg on the face for Poland that they aren't going to have Trump visiting next week. But whether or not that actually impacts their domestic politics, I think remains to be seen.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Trump is rude but right about the Fed. I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. President Trump should not have cast Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell as an enemy of Americans. There's no reason to doubt that Powell and his colleagues are trying to conduct monetary policy in the nation's best interest. But the disconcerting truth is that on several of the issues that divide the two men, Trump has been right and Powell wrong. In December, the Federal Reserve raised its target for the federal funds rate and suggested that further rate increases were ahead. Trump raged against the decision. Especially in retrospect, the Fed seems to have erred. Stocks, inflation expectations, and market projections of future interest rates all fell. At the end of July, the Fed reversed its December rate hike. Trump wanted it to go further. Again, the market indicators suggest he was right. Markets seem to value the central bank's independence, too. So Trump probably shouldn't talk as much as he does about the Fed. But that doesn't mean his main points have been wrong. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Toco Imports has been a fixture of the Ithaca, New York community for nearly 40 years, selling drums, specialty percussion instruments, and fine crafts. The current owner, Polly Wood, is passionate about the business, but it's time to move on. And she wants to make sure the person who succeeds her is just as passionate. She's giving away the business in an online contest. After a $108 fee, entrants will have to answer a handful of questions.
So the questions are things like, well, what would your vision be for Toco going forward from here? What new services, products, interests, what things would you bring to the business? You know, why would you want to have a business in downtown Ithaca?
A panel of judges will score the answers. She'll need at least 100 entrants for the Facebook event, which is also online at Win Toco website. The contest ends October 21st. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. Again, futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 17 points. Dow futures, they're up 160. And NASDAQ futures up 47. The DAX in Germany up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. Yield 1.51%. And the yield on the two-year, 1.53%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% or 89 cents at $55.80 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 0.1%, down $1.90. to $15.35 an ounce. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.